personal life. If you have your Bibles, if you can open up to the book of Mark. Book of Mark. What I would like to share with you tonight is nothing new, nothing you've ever heard before. Something that we've all, many, many sermons have been preached from this text, from these verses. But my goal and my ambition tonight is to be an encouragement to you, to be a help to you, to kind of maybe give us a jump start, give us a jump start. The other day, I went out to my car and it was probably 3 weeks ago now. Went out to the car and put the key in the ignition and turned the key over and got the faded click, 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 click sound. And so I was like, okay, well, I'll try it again. So I turned it over and click, 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 same thing. So I knew what was happening and my battery was dead. So I had to get a jump start to get it to a shop to where I get the battery, a new battery, and everything changed out. Every now and then in the Christian life, we need a jump start. Every now and then, we need to go to the Word of God and find encouragement to keep on, keeping on what God has called us all to do to reach the world. Here in Mark chapter 2, we have a very, very famous, familiar story to many of us. Did I say Matthew or something? Did I say Mark? Yeah, Mark chapter 2. So Mark chapter 2. God will not forget. If I had a title of the sermon, it would be God will not forget. Mark chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, "And again he entered into Capernaum, this being Jesus, after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born afore. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." God will not forget. God will not forget. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for the privilege it is to take the gospel to the world. What an honor and privilege that you've given to us. What a responsibility. Father, I pray that you would speak through me tonight. I need you, Lord. Holy Spirit of God, I need your power. I ask, Lord, that you would use this truth to encourage your people, to embolden them to go out even stronger and with more vigor to spread your word and to do things for you. Well, thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Here we have a familiar story to many of us. Many of us have heard this growing up. We have the story of the man who was sick of the palsy, who was carried by four men, his friends, if you will, to where Jesus was, and he was healed of that dreaded disease. Here, no doubt, Jesus, everywhere Jesus went, it was noise, and he had a following everywhere he went. He would go to a city, and he'd go to a town, the same situation happened everywhere he went. People would hear that he was there, and they would bring their sick, and they'd bring those who were ill, and those who had problems, they'd bring those people to Jesus to get healed. And whenever he was by himself, Jesus that is, and someone came up to him, he'd always say, "Don't go out and tell anybody." But it was always the case. That person actually went out and spread the news around. And no doubt the situation was the same here. It was noise that Jesus was going to be in a certain house in a certain town. And these four gentlemen probably heard that Jesus is going to be in a certain place. And they're like, you know, we have our friend. We got to get our friend to Jesus. We got to get our friend to Jesus who can make the difference in his life. And they probably said, you know, we got to get up real early because no doubt there's going to be a lot of people there. They're going to get there early themselves, so let's get up real early. And they got up early and they got their friend around. They got him on the bed, on the cot there, and they carried him. And they went to where Jesus was, and even with getting there early, they noticed that there were people everywhere. So they probably, one piped up and said, "Hey, let's go around the back. Maybe there's not so many people around the back." So they go around the back and the situation was the same. There were people everywhere. Another man probably said, "Hey, you know what? There's some stairs here. Let's go on the roof. Maybe there's a way we can lower the friend down to where Jesus is inside the house." So they went on the roof and they were looking around and there was nothing but thatched roof. And there was no way they could get their friend to Jesus. But they just had to get their friend to Jesus. They just had to get this man to where Jesus was so that Jesus could heal him. So one probably said, "Hey, you know what? If there's a will, there's a way. Let's just start tearing up the roof and get him down to Jesus." And I can just picture the other three probably saying, "Are you serious? We're going to destroy this person's house? They're probably going to throw us in jail if they catch us. We can't afford to replace this guy's roof. There's no way." But they probably all decided that the cause was greater than the cost, and they start tearing up the roof, and they lowered their friend down to Jesus. And did you notice the verse that when Jesus saw their faith, they had the faith to believe that Jesus had the answer for that man's problem. You know, the situation is the same with you and I. We go to work. We rub shoulders with people in the supermarket. We rub shoulders with people at the gas station. We go about our daily ordeals, and we go about our daily grind, if you will, and we rub shoulders with the world. We intermingle with the people of the world who don't have the truth. People who are spiritually sick. People who are spiritually diseased. People who don't have the answer to their spiritual sickness. And we have the cure. Jesus is looking to us. He wants to see our faith. He wants to see that we have the faith to believe that He has the answer to their problem. And He wants us to get out of our comfort level, if you will. See, it was out of their comfort level to go up on that roof and start tearing it up. I don't know about you, but I don't know. I don't think I'd want to go on a roof and start tearing up someone else's property to get my friend to Jesus. If I was in there, I don't know if I'd want to do that if I was in their shoes. But they got out of their comfort level. They got out of the norm, if you will. They thought outside the box. And that's what it's going to take for you and I. See, many times we're in our little comfort level of ministry. We're in our comfort level of what we know is what God wants us to do. But if we're going to get the gospel to the world, we've got to think outside the box. God wants to see our faith. He wants to see that we have the faith to believe in a big God that has the answer to every person's problem. No matter what it is that you and I are going through, He wants to see that we have the faith to believe in Him to bring our friends, to bring the people that we rub shoulders with to Jesus Christ. You work with people. You intermingle with people. They're sick. They're dying spiritually. And they need the help. They need the answer. They need Jesus Christ. They need someone to take them to Jesus Christ. They need someone to get the gospel to them. And I challenge you today to believe in the cause of Jesus Christ. It was David, when faced with Goliath, when he took the food down to his brothers and he saw Goliath mocking and cursing Jehovah, the true and living God, he said, "Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause for why we're here fighting? Why is this heathen going to get away with what he's calling our God? Is there not a cause?" I ask you today, fellow Christian, brothers and sisters in Christ, is there not a cause in which we live for? Is there not a reason for what we do when we go about our daily lives? Is there not a reason for why we come to church here and we settle here for a missions conference? Is there not a cause? Is there not something that motivates you, that gets you going, that stirs you up? Is there anything that gets you worked up over the cause of Christ? Now I think of Isaiah, a prophet of God, called and doing what God wanted him to do. And we have in Isaiah chapter 6, we have Isaiah having the vision of looking up into heaven and seeing God high and lifted up. And when he got a true picture of who God was, he saw God for how holy He was and how righteous He was and how magnificent He was. He saw himself for who He was. He saw that he was a man of sin. He was a preacher serving God, but he saw that he was a man of sin and that he lived amongst people full of sin. And he fell down on his face and he confessed his sin and confessed the sins of the people. And it was only then and only then that he was ready to serve and ready to do exactly what it was that God wanted him to do. Oh, that we would have Christians who would see God for who He is, high and lifted up, able to do great and mighty and exceeding things in our lives if we just had the faith to believe Him. If we just had the faith to trust Him. If we could see Him for who He is, then we would see us, ourselves, for who we were and who we are. If we would just get broken for the sin, for our own sin, but the sins of our nation. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and seek my face. We need to get broken for the sins of America. We need to get broken over our sins. And it's only then and only then will we truly have the desire to serve God the way He wants us to serve Him. He may not want you to go to India. He may not want you to go to Saudi Arabia. He may not want you to go to Honduras or the Philippines, but there's somebody that you work with that He wants you to reach. There's somebody right here. There's something that He wants you to do. See, we have a part to play. Each and every single one of us have a part to play. Growing up, I absolutely love baseball. It's probably my favorite sport. And I'm a Detroit Tiger fan. And I love everything about the Tigers, so you have to forgive me for that now. And me and my brother, when we were growing up, we always used to go down to the park, and I'd throw the ball up, and I'd hit the ball to him, and we went back and forth all the time. Every chance we got, we went out and did that. And of course, it was always much more fun if we had some of the neighborhood boys would come out and play a game. It was always much more enjoyable to play the game of baseball if we had a team. If we had someone to join up with, if you will. You know, if I was to ask you, what position is the most important position in the game of baseball or any sport? You say, the pitcher. The pitcher's the most important position, is it not? I say, pitcher's pretty important. But what if you don't have a catcher? How important is that pitcher? Not very important, is he? You say, well, if you have a catcher, but what if you don't have a batter, someone who stands in the batter box? How important is that pitcher? What if you don't have a second baseman or an outfielder to catch the ball and field the ball when the ball is hit? How important is that pitcher? Not very important. What if you don't have umpires to call the game in the correct way? How important is that pitcher? Not very important. What if you don't have a manager or a coach? What if you don't have an owner? What if you don't have people who are working the concession stand? What if you don't have fans coming to the game? How important is that pitcher? Not very important. What if you don't have people working the grounds and make sure the grass is cut and manicured? How important is that pitcher? Not very important. See, every person has a part to play. Every person has a vital role in that sport called baseball. And we all have a part to play in the cause of Jesus Christ. Each and every single one of us have a part to play. And may I say that the part that you play is just as important is the part I play. Just because I'm here preaching, just because I'm going across the land, going to India, that makes me no better than you. That makes me no better than you. As a matter of fact, you are probably more important to the cause of Jesus Christ. See, someone has to pay the bills. Someone has to get on their knees daily and pray for the missionary. Someone has to lift them up in prayer. Someone has to pray for the preacher. And pray that, because Satan has his arrows on him, and he's trying to destroy him and trying to destroy this ministry. You're vital. You're vitally important to the cause of Christ. So whatever role that you play, whatever it is that you do for the cause of Christ, it is vital. It's vital. It's important. We need you in this cause of Jesus Christ. If you're the preacher or if you're the pianist, we need you. If you give to missions or if you can just pray for missionaries, we need you. If you teach Sunday school or if you just attend, we need you. If you do all the talking when you go out soul winning, or if you're just the silent partner, sitting there being support and praying, we need you. If you serve in some kind of outreach ministry, if you're working the buses or the nursing home or whatever it is that you do, we need you. If you pass out tracts or if you pass the plate, we need you. If you sing in the choir or if you just sing in the pew, we need you. If you're a parent, if you're married, if you're a single, if you're a teenager, whoever it is that you are, in whatever part you play in the cause of Jesus Christ, we need you. See, the fact of the matter is we have an enemy. And he knows his time is short. He knows that if he can get God's people discouraged, if he can whisper in our ear and say, you know what? No one sees what you do. No one sees that piece of garbage you pick up. No one sees that track that you pass. No one sees that time you get on your face early in the morning, you pray for that missionary, you pray for your family. No one sees that. If he can whisper in your ear and discourage you, and tell you that it's not worth it, and tell you that no one sees what you're doing, and tell you that it doesn't matter, that God doesn't even hear. If he can get you down, he knows he won. Because he can't get your soul, but if he can get you discouraged, and if he can get you demoralized, he knows that he's got one more person not doing what it is that God's called them to do, not playing their part on the team. See, we need you. We need you. He's a liar. He's a liar. He's the father of lies. For thousands of years, he's been discouraging God's people. He's discouraged greater Christians than you and I. He can discourage us. That's why it's so vital that daily we get before him and we call out to God and we spend time with him. That's why it's so important. If you could turn with me to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. I titled the sermon, God Will Not Forget. God will not forget. When I was reading in Hebrews the other week, I came across this verse and it just stuck out at me. I've read this many, many times, but it stuck out at me this time for some reason. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 6 and Verse 10, it says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which you have showed towards His name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister." Did you catch that? Did you see that? It says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your labor of love." God's perfect. God's holy. He's righteous. And whatever it is that you do for the cause of Christ, whatever it is that you do in secret, whatever it is that you do to serve Him, God is not unrighteous to forget that. The preacher may forget it. Your spouse may forget it. The children that you raise may forget it. Your Sunday school children may forget it. Man may forget it, but God will not forget. God sees everything you do. Many times we teach our children, we teach young children, "Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you touch," as well as we should. But we also need to teach them that God sees not only the wrong that we do, but He also sees the good things we do. He sees everything that we do. And that should spur us on to do more for Jesus Christ. That should spur us on to serve Him with more vigor and more veracity. That should spur us on to realize that, man, we have such a great God, such a wonderful God, that He is not unrighteous to forget our labor of love. What a great God we serve. Even if God wanted to forget what it is that we do, He can't do it because He's not able to do anything unrighteous. What a promise. So when you get discouraged, you think that no one's watching and no one sees what it is you do, and Satan's whispering in your ear, "Hey, give up, quit what you're doing." Realize that you have a God who's watching you. You have a God who's depending on you to stay faithful. Turn with me to Revelation. Revelation chapter 5. You know, many times, I don't know about you, when you're praying and you're spending time before God and you're begging, you have a need, you have a prayer request, and you have something that's heavy on you. Sometimes do you feel like it's just bouncing off the walls, like God's not hearing? Does it seem sometimes that maybe God's on vacation, that, you know, He's not answering the way I want an answer, and man, it's taking forever. God, do you even hear what I'm saying? Oh, we know that He hears. We know that He hears what we say. We know that He hears and that He answers in His time, but we're all human. Sometimes we, in our flesh, we just have times of doubt. In Revelation chapter 5, I was reading this and came across this, and this is an amazing, amazing passage. In verse 8 it says, "And when He had taken the book," being Jesus, "the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps," and get this, "and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints." Which are the prayers of the saints. Do you see that? Every time you pray, every time you call out to God, every time you have a need and you have a request, and it seems like God's not hearing, oh, God hears you. Not only does He hear everything you pray to Him, but He saves that. He saves that. That's sweet to Him. See, God didn't save us just so that we could have our spiritual fire insurance, if you will. He saved us to have a relationship, to restore a relationship that was broken in the garden. And He desires to have a relationship with us. He wants us to talk with Him and spend time with Him. And He wants to hear our pleadings with Him. And He wants to hear us call out to Him. And He wants to hear Him praise Him and glorify Him. He wants to have a relationship. And when you feel like He's not hearing and He's not answering, realize that He does hear. He may not answer in the time that we want Him. He might not answer in the time and the way that He wants us to answer, but He does hear. And He saves that. It's a sweet odor to Him. He saves it. So not only will God not forget what it is you do for Him, not only will God not forget the good things you do and how you serve Him and how you live for Him and how you are faithful, but He also hears every prayer that we pray. What a great God we have. What a wonderful God we have. And that should just move us and motivate us to do more for Him. If I have a God this great, man, how can I not serve Him? How can I not serve Him? How can I not live for Him? So Christian brother and sister, keep on preaching the gospel because God won't forget. Keep on passing out tracts because God won't forget. Keep on taking care of that nursery because God won't forget. Keep on driving that church bus because God won't forget. Keep on living a holy and righteous life because God won't forget. Keep on reading and studying your Bible because God won't forget. Keep on giving tithes and giving offerings because God won't forget. Keep on being a godly parent and a good spouse because God won't forget. Keep on serving Him and looking to Him and praying to Him and being faithful because God won't forget. Keep on serving Him with vigor and with more veracity because God won't forget. Keep on keeping on. And when Satan whispers to you and he says, you know, it's not worth it. And he tells you, oh, the economy's tough. And you know what? Many churches are stopping with their giving. And it's tough times. When he tells you that, say, you know what? It may be tough, but I serve a big God who is able. Who is able. I was in a missions conference. Actually, I was second meeting in the deputation. Second meeting. A pastor came to me and said, brother, how long is it going to take you to raise your support, to go to the field? I was like, well, you know, the average missionary is saying 2 to 3 years. 2 to 3 years. He said, oh, really? Why don't you pray for a year? And I thought about it, and I was like, you know, that's a good point. I serve a big God. I'll pray for a year. And I was praying and did that for about a couple weeks. Shows a little bit of faith I have. A couple weeks I prayed. Went to a missions conference a couple months later, and a Filipino missionary, 25 years on the field, national, comes up to me and says, brother, how long are you going to be serving as deputation? You know, in his broken English. And I was like, oh, you know, 2 to 3 years. And he looked at me and he says, oh, little God you have. Like, oh, stuck through me like a knife. We serve a big God. He's able to do great and mighty things. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things thou know not, which thou knowest not. Great and mighty things. See, every prayer, every promise in the Word of God has two parts, and God is always faithful with His part. It's us that drop the ball. See, we have a part to play too. He wants us to claim the promises that He's given us. He wants us to claim the promises that He won't forget. But what is He not going to forget? We have to do something, don't we? We have to serve Him, don't we? For Him not to forget the good things we do. For Him not to forget our prayers, we have to pray to Him. We have to believe that He's a prayer-hearing and prayer-answering God. What a great God we have. What a great God we have. May this be an encouragement for you to do more for Him, to serve Him with vigor here in the Madisonville, Western Kentucky area. What a great God. Let's pray.